Our first reading this morning comes from Paul's letter to the church at Rome. I'll be reading chapter 7, verses 15 through 25a. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the gospel reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 11th chapter, verses 16 through 19, and then 25 through 30. Listen for God's word. But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, "We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today's gospel reading from Matthew contains one of those passages from Scripture that we should all commit to memory if we haven't already. Like John 3:16, the 23rd Psalm, and Matthew 6:19 through 15, that's the Lord's Prayer. These verses at the end of chapter 11 speak to the basis, the very root of our faith, of what it means to be Christian. They are an invitation from our Savior to a life guided by His principles and made bearable only by His love, His help, and His grace. "Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." For me personally, these verses have gained new meaning, new relevance in my faith journey as I travel this road toward commission by pastor. It has been quite clear to me over these past 3 years that I do not travel this road alone. And it is only with His guidance and grace that I can keep moving forward, True, it is by fits and starts at times, but I'm to blame for that, not him. Ever so gently, he pulls or pushes, nudges me along. And I'm gaining a new appreciation for what Jesus calls his easy yoke and his light burden. But I'm getting ahead of myself here. Let's first back up and look at the opening verses from today's reading. Can you sense Jesus' frustration at the beginning of this passage? But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, "We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We wailed and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking," they say, "he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking," and they say, "look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." If Jesus was like you and me, I could hear him say, "Give me a break." It seems like he is frustrated with the people of Matthew's day that the children just don't seem to get it. If God sends his message through a devout prophet who tries to separate himself from the people and not live by their ways and up to or down to their expectations, he's a crazy person. But if God comes as a gentle, caring person who relates with everyone, even those less fortunate, less esteemed, then he's cast out as a drunkard, an outsider who doesn't know the right way to behave. Do you ever have a day like that? When it seems you can't win for losing? Yes, he seems frustrated, even upset. Maybe a little miffed at the people, at us. When things don't go right, we tend to take it out on others. If no one understands the things we are trying to do, or what it is we are saying, we get angry. We might have a few choice words for those who ignore our directions. We might raise our voice, repeating ourselves until our audience gets it. Sometimes we may even be tempted to give up, walk out, and go elsewhere. But we are not Jesus. And that is not how he responds. Certainly he rebukes his audience, chastises them and scolds, but then just as quickly as he allows his anger to show, he recollects himself. He takes a deep breath, refocuses, and begins again by giving thanks. In fact, he gives thanks to the Father for not revealing his truth to the intelligent and to the wise, but to infants. Jesus is grateful that God has chosen not to enlighten the religious leaders, the Pharisees, but rather a small number of new believers, true infants in the faith. Kind of like, let's start over. Let's begin to rewrite the story of mankind based not solely on the Torah, the law of Moses, but with a new view of what it truly means to be people of God. So he has regrouped, recentered, and he begins again to preach this new gospel, God's truth. He begins by presenting his hearers and us an invitation. "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Does that speak to anyone here? It should. It should speak to all of us. We all have burdens we bear. We are all weary to one degree or another. And at times we are both weighed down and weary. Jesus knows that life is not often easy. And as sinful people, we struggle to keep our heads above water. He knows that we cannot live day after day after day on our own with a life full of worries, cares, and burdens. He knows that we must have rest, that there must be periods when the weight is lifted from us so that we can be relieved, refreshed, and renewed. There's a legend about the ancient philosopher and author Aesop. A traveler was watching one day as this famous and learned man was playing with a group of children. He laughed and asked Aesop, "Why do you waste your time with such childish games?" Aesop took the man's bow from him. He unstrung it and laid it on the ground. He then asked the traveler to decipher the riddle. The man could not. And Aesop explained, "If you keep a bow always bent, it will eventually break. But if you let it go slack, It will be more fit for use when you need it. Aren't we like that? Don't we all need some slack time? Does anyone believe we can go on indefinitely, tight like a strung bow? That is why long weekends and vacations and even hobbies or diversions are such a blessing. They allow us to break routine, diffuse and decompress from the pressures of daily life. The feeling we get while away from work or involved in activities we don't regularly do is similar to the feeling we can get when we come to Jesus. When we accept His invitation and lay our burdens on Him. Jesus knows that if we are to follow Him and live our lives according to His will, we will be tested and tried. We will be rocked and buffeted along the way. That is why He wants to unstring our bows, provide the rest we, the weary, need. In the very next verse, verse 29, Jesus presents us with yet another invitation. In this one He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy." And my burden is light. My yoke is easy. How can that be? That's not how I picture a yoke. A yoke means hard, grueling labor, almost slave-like. Nothing about it suggests easy. Nothing about this image entices me to sign up. But we need to look a little deeper. Let me start with a story. We don't know much about Jesus' early life. We do know that Joseph was a master carpenter, and it is safe to assume that young Jesus followed in his earthly father's footsteps and also became a carpenter. In fact, some historians believe that Jesus became one of the master yoke makers in all of Nazareth. People came from miles around for a yoke, hand-carved and crafted by Jesus, son of Joseph. When customers arrived with their team of oxen, Jesus would spend considerable time measuring the team, their height, their width, the space between them, and the size of their shoulders. Within a week, the team would be brought back, and He would carefully place the newly made yoke over their shoulders, watching for rough places, smoothing out the edges, and fitting them perfectly to this particular team of oxen. This is what Jesus means by easy. Not that His yoke is not a burden, but that it is perfectly fitted. It rests easy upon us. And remember also that a yoke is always made for two. Jesus will always be in that yoke with us. One more short story to illustrate the point. A man went to see a farmer one day who was plowing his field with a team of oxen. He noticed that one of the animals was bigger than the other, so he asked the farmer about it. The response he got was very interesting. He said that the big animal was an older ox that was well trained, and the smaller one was a young animal that was new to the yoke. The man went on to inquire as to why he put them together, and this is the answer he got. "Well, you see, it's like this. That older ox is the best ox that I have ever had. He knows his way around the field. The reason I put the younger one with the older, more knowledgeable ox was so that he could teach the younger one how to plow. If I never put them together, the younger ox would never learn. And by himself, the younger ox would pull himself to death. But together, he learns to cooperate with and rest in the strength of the older ox." So in today's message to us, Jesus encourages us to do four things through His two invitations. He says, "Be with me." Number two, "Follow me." Number three, "Work with me." And number four, "Learn from me." By placing ourselves in Christ's yoke, we do experience rest for our souls. When we are in Jesus' yoke, we learn from the gentle, humble Master, and our lives take on new meaning, new character, His yoke allows us to be connected to Him. Remember, we were not meant to go through life living apart from God. His yoke fits well and is lighter than the one we've been pulling by ourselves. Be connected with Jesus. Jesus says, "Follow me." The idea of a yoke pictures the forward movement of two connected together, joined at the hip, well, at the shoulder here. We cannot be yoked to Jesus and go our own way anymore. Let Jesus provide your life direction. To be yoked together means that we cooperate with His work. We are no longer living for ourselves only on this side of eternity. Now we are joined to His work throughout His creation, and we discover that our lives can make an eternal impact. Be a part of Jesus' work. And when we are yoked with Jesus, we learn from the Master, the older ox. Through Him, we learn how to live with gentle strength and humble attitudes. Let Jesus be your teacher. We are but infants in the faith. We have before us the Master of life. He is offering to teach us, to guide us, to share with us all that life has to offer and all it throws in our way. If we will but pick up His yoke and live our lives obeying His commandments and prayerfully accepting His help, then our burdens will be lighter. Our souls will find the rest we need, and our lives will have new meaning, new purpose, and new joy. Praise God for His unfailing love and life-giving grace found in an easy yoke. Amen.